The student becomes the teacher.
It's Lecture Me, brought to you by Blue Hills Secondhand Books in Parnell.
Is it too early for a lecture? I don't think so.
Never too early.
What time do your lectures start, Beth?
Well, I'm only doing two papers.
Yeah.
This semester my papers were... Yeah, I didn't have any morning ones, let's just say. That was nice.
So if there was a morning one, when would it? Yeah. What time would it start?
My earliest one started at 9. Nine in the morning.
Oh, that's...
Which, it's not too bad, but...
Good hours. Yeah, I expect that the lecturer doesn't want to get there any earlier than that.
No, there's always quite a lot of joking about, like, needing coffee and stuff like that.
Should have had that well before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, should have been taken care of, I think.
My guest this morning on Lecture Me is Beth Torrance Hetherington, and Beth's lecture was on creative writing, specifically creative nonfiction and short stories. The course was creative writing, or is creative writing, four genres, and the lecturer is the brilliant Paula Morris.
Paula Morris.
And we've spoken before, mm-hmm. and you're doing a Bachelor of Arts majoring in English Literature and Communications.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so how did the lecture go?
Well, it went, you know, as it usually goes.
It was okay.
Yeah, no, I guess it was fine. No, I've been really enjoying these lectures. You know, we're not allowed like phones or laptops or anything. So it's just, you know, classic pen and paper. And
oh, right. You're not allowed to take notes on...
No, you're not. You will get publicly shamed.
Do you still know how to write? I often wonder whether anybody these days actually knows how to write or what their style of writing might
be. Yeah, well... I liked that aspect for sure, and they were 3 hours long, I might add, so quite a long time, you know, to be sitting there. But it was I felt quite nice to be immersed, and you know, sort of just taking it all in.
Would you normally be taking notes on your laptop or your phone?
I usually try to take notes with pen and paper. I just sort of find it feels more substantial.
Yes.
And I sort of tend to remember it better. But
you have to be fast.
You got to be quick off the mark. This is the thing about, you know, laptops. It's so quick. And you know, you've got sort of like a log of it. So you can like, you know, search for stuff later within the document and so on. But...
True.
Yeah,
with pen and paper, you really don't, do you?
No, you mean you've got to use the old method of the brain searching.
And what about like things for me? If I went to a lecture where I was using pen and paper, I'd probably be thinking a lot about the pen I was going to use and the paper.
Yeah, this is true. You've got to have a nice pen.
Great pen.
Unfortunately, my ink pen ran out in the sort of last two lectures. That was
like
very upsetting.
Quink. Proper ink?
It's kind of just like, I can show you what it looks like.
Oh, yes,
like.
I must have a look. We all should see this.
Yes. It was like
that. Beth's got beautiful writing. Beautiful writing style.
Thank you.
What would you call that?
Cursive?
Yeah, cursive, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I suppose.
All right, so specifically creative nonfiction and short stories. We know what short stories are. What's the definition of creative nonfiction?
Well, creative nonfiction is, you know, is something that comes from fact or comes from your life. And as soon as you start to add, you know, or embellish certain details, it's no longer nonfiction, and that was made very clear. I think there was an example of a man whose book did extremely well in the States. I can't remember his name actually, but I'll have it written down somewhere. But the thing is, I don't have a Command F function in this notebook.
You can't search very quickly. Right.
Yes, and he got in lots of trouble for, you know, when it came out that he had sort of, you know, embellished certain facts, and you know, it wasn't nonfiction. The other thing we were sort of thinking about is sort of the moral element to it. Like, is this my story to tell? Is it like, you know, is it ethically what are the ethics here?
Right, so maybe we're talking about a memoir and then you start talking about somebody else who's had some impact on your life. And how far you go. And
yeah, because, you know, why have they had that impact? What's going on for them, you know, is I suppose is a question you may be asking. And is that your laundry to air out?
Well, it's interesting that you're talking about this because the bottom line has got to be defamation, doesn't it? I mean, that's where the line gets crossed, and that person or people that you're talking about can actually take you to court about it.
And that's not ideal.
Well, no. A good editor would say we have to take that out of the book.
Yeah. A good editor would say, now, we don't want to get sued for defamation, do we?
But there's a very much blurred lines because...
And that's the interesting thing, right, is it's difficult,
Because there's such a thing with defamation, opinion counts.
Yes.
It's like talkback, which I worked on for many years.
Yeah.
And opinion, if it's your opinion about something, it's okay. You know, your opinion, or if it's the truth.
Mm.
If you're actually telling the truth and the truth can be proven, so that's fine. So, but are we talking about here where you're branching out into, when you say morally, when you're having an opinion, but it's not particularly flattering?
I think so. And if you know, if that opinion or if what you're writing about is perhaps sensitive or a tender issue for the other person. Yeah. But, I mean, you don't have to publish it, right?
Oh, well, what's the point of writing it? I think you do have to publish
it. You do have to.
So maybe let's say it's a it's to do with relationships and things that would embarrass somebody else that you might have had an affair or you might have done this or that. Is this the area that we're talking about?
I think maybe it might be, you know, a good example. Or, you know, again, someone else's experiences, you know, maybe... you know, what they're going through. But relationships, certainly. And we're also, you know, warned not to be sentimental, is the word. So, you know, any melodramatic at all. So sentiment and melodrama are off the table.
Maybe that's a New Zealand thing, though, isn't it?
It might be a little...
I mean,
it's
really?
A Paul Morris thing. No, love Paula.
Because if I think about the difference between creative nonfiction, or having said that this is a generalisation, but if you're looking at an American memoir,
yes,
no holds barred, you know, tell it all. Besides, when you get to the point where you're crossing the boundary where you could get sued, that's where you probably stop because your editor, well, you do stop because your editor has told you that. But perhaps in New Zealand, we just don't, you know, we feel embarrassed or there's something about our psyche that says, well, no, we won't offend that person.
Yes.
When possibly
absolutely.
That person needs offending.
I know. I think New Zealanders are definitely, you know, I think if we're ordering at a coffee store, you know, and or if someone is, you know, being rude to you while you're working at a coffee store, you know, you're going to end up begging them, you know, to... you're going to end up giving them their coffee and going, you know, here you go, have a lovely day, or whatever. You're not going to stand up for yourself, really, are you?
You mean you're serving them?
You're serving them.
Right.
I don't know. This is very elaborate and sort of quite off topic.
I understand what you mean, though. No, yeah. it does cross over into fiction, non-fiction.
Yeah.
It does. It's because it's our psyche
yes.
to not offend or to, you know, yes. ameliorate the situation.
Yeah.
So perhaps my feeling is... Mm-hmm. I think we need to be just spew a bit more on our creative nonfiction.
Yeah, I think we just need to, you know, when you get that feeling like you might be getting, you know, going down the Sue path, maybe that's when you need to ramp it up.
You can always cut it out.
You can always cut it out. You know, the editor can have a conversation with you, but don't let it stop you. You know.
Well, did anybody bring that up with Paula? No, because she's the lecturer.
Yeah.
Do you talk back to the lecturer in the class?
Yes, you do. You do sort of contribute, or you're encouraged to contribute. Yeah.
But not challenge them.
Not challenge. I mean, sometimes you know you get a a person who rather enjoys challenging. But it doesn't, yeah, I mean, you can't really win. So I'm going to say.
That's right. You can't really win.
No.
And she wouldn't mind being challenged anyway.
No, I think it's quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
My sense.
I can hear you turning a page.
Yes, some exciting rustling happening. Yeah, I like, maybe we could talk a little bit about character creating.
Yes, please.
Okay. Well,
this is in short stories.
This is short stories.
Yeah.
But I mean, characters are always based off of real people, I think. And if they're not,
mash up sometimes. Yep.
Yeah. Little mix. It's, you know, those specific details is what we've been learning, are what make, you know, characters compelling and realistic. Although the writer should never attempt to be realistic, you know, that's a no.
Just change the name, you mean, of a person into
yeah,
a character.
Do it.
Right. I'm saying nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Nothing was said. Yes. So detail is really important. Sort of specific sensory detail will, you know, evoke, you know, will create those sort of connections for people, I think. No melodrama, no sentiment. And by sentiment, we sort of mean, you know, I love this person so much. You know, no cliches or anything. And
depending what your character's like, of course.
Yeah,
your character might be melodramatic and sentimental.
Yes, indeed. And then that would be a different story.
It would be a different story. Hey, on another subject altogether in
yes.
your other life as a musician,
yeah.
I saw your new video. It's great.
Thank you.
Ankle Socks.
Yeah.
It's just come out?
Yes, it has just come out. About a week ago.
Yeah, and you've got Tiny Flowers, an EP out.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning I'm playing all New Zealand music,
mm-hmm.
Aotearoa offerings. So I thought we might play your new track.
That sounds awesome.
So who did your video?
Shane Warbrook of the Bempshire Swing.
They're
on the top 10.
Yeah.
Number three,
right.
Yeah, we filmed at my house, which has kind of a bit of a gothic vibe. It's an old convent, so it definitely has that aspect.
Well, spooky for Halloween.
Quite spooky, yeah.
Should I be saying that? Why would it be spooky?
Nuns?
Nuns are, yeah.
I'm not watching The Nun. I've decided it might not be best for me. But, yeah, we also filmed on Murawai Beach, which is always, you know, very beautiful. So it's sort of got a slight surreal aspect to it, or feeling, the whole video.
Well, thanks so much for coming in this morning and
thanks, Karen.
Lecturing us, and we'll play your new song called Ankle Socks.
Beautiful.